Mr. Shannon.
Yes, before you begin comment, I want to point out for the record that you should all have in your possession three letters constituting formal protests lodged by Lion Capital Ventures, one of the bidders. I know you have received and had the opportunity to review these letters. This constitutes a formal protest to the proposed action by the city. I would also point out that if anyone is present from Lion Capital Ventures, this is your opportunity to make any oral presentation you might wish to make. Is there anyone here from Lion Ventures? Apparently no one. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Councilmember Lowenthal.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I wanted to make the motion. I think Councilmember Garcia seconded it. I'm very pleased that this brings one era to a close and opens a new chapter in the building's life, as well as that of the East Village and downtown. I'm really excited about the potential here. The timing for revitalizing this building could not have come at a better time. Just this last weekend, during race weekend, I was looking at the building and realizing that its best days are yet to come. And the building's activation will certainly go a long way to bridging the large chasm between the downtown core areas of Pine and the Promenade and East Village retail and arts scene. So I have a feeling that this could certainly be the glue that brings it all together. Each of those areas are independently designed well, built well, and doing well, but that connectivity isn't there. So I'd like to compliment Mr. Ratkovich that's here for your persistence and your vision on this project. You're a Long Beach developer, which gives me comfort, and it shows in your passion, commitment, and sensitivities, and I appreciate that. And I want to thank you, Mr. City Manager, and your staff for keeping this project moving forward. It's been many years. I think your entire career here. So thank you.
Did you make the motion?
I did.
Oh, thank you. Sorry. Vice Mayor Garcia.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I was certainly happy to make the second on the motion. I think Councilmember Lowenthal said it well, that this is an extremely important project for the connectivity between the East Village and the downtown. I drive by the site probably multiple times a day or walk by it, and just to be able to think that we'll have something there that will be bringing new people in, new residents, new people that are going to be shopping and eating and enjoying what downtown has to offer, I think is pretty exciting. I personally also feel confident in discussions with city staff that we are doing the right thing when it comes to being able to get this property developed in what still is a tough market. So I feel confident moving forward. And I also want to just say that, like Councilmember Lowenthal, this is a real quality team. And not just Mr. Ratkovich, but the whole team he's put together that includes other really great local people as well, I think is really exciting. So I look forward to the project.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a couple questions for management. I guess the first question is, I know the city approached this as an RFP versus hiring a broker. Can you talk about some of the trade-offs? And certainly there's no right answer, but can you talk about some of the benefits we got from an RFP versus just going to the market and getting a broker?
Councilmember Johnson, members of the City Council, with an RFP, staff can, I think, better control the development that they would like to see on that property. In particular, we are looking at residential development rather than a resurgence of office space. It also gives us the opportunity to set other certain conditions, such as an as-is sale that wouldn't necessarily be able to do on the open marketplace. We also have an ability of not to set the purchase price so that the market creates the value of the property. We have found in previous efforts to sell the property that it has failed because of the economics of the residential development. So this just provides an opportunity to be more specific as to the type of development and to let the market establish where that value is.
And my understanding is part of the RFP requires the developer to do a residential project. So if the developer for some reason wanted, you know, a year later to do, you know, I don't want to do residential, I want to do commercial, is it correct that they'd be bound by contract that they would not be able to do that? They'd have to do the residential project that was part of the RFP. Is that correct?
That's correct. The intended use is defined in the purchase and sale agreement.
All right. So, and I certainly, I mean, I think that's the intent, but I just want to make sure the city's protected. So if for some reason the developer were not to do that, we'd have recourse to make sure that was enforced. Is that correct?
Councilman Johnson, I can speak to that with a little bit more detail. The purchase and sale agreement contemplates a restrictive covenant that would be recorded against the property that would require the intended use. So, yes, we would have recourse if they were to not operate as a residential development.
Okay. And like I said, I don't suspect – I mean, I know that the developer is intending to do the residential, but I think it's important to do our due diligence in the conversation. And finally, it seems to me one of the benefits of residential here, in addition to revitalizing the downtown, which I know is very important to the vice mayor and to Councilmember Lowenthal, and certainly we all want to see a thriving downtown, there's also a property tax benefit. Do we know at full build out with, you know, obviously there's an estimate here, but how much property tax will be generated at full build out?
Councilmember Johnson, my estimate is $300,000 annually.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Lowenthal.
Just briefly, Mr. Mayor, I know that in conversations and possibly in the report, I'm not sure where I'm picking this up from, but there's an expectation that Public Works is likely to incur some unbudgeted costs related to, is it related to security or is it ongoing maintenance? I just wanted some clarity on that.
Council member, this is both maintenance and security. We have had a rash of vandalism in the mm-hmm. property in the last number of months where they've taken out all the copper cable and conducted other damage within the building. And so now we have 24-hour security, which tends to be quite expensive. And we do have some landscaping and other maintenance items that we have been attending to at a cost of approximately $14,000 a month. Total right now, I think, is around $90,000 to $100,000.
Over how many months? Over the 12-month period?
About 12 months.
And that's for the full-time security and?
Security guard wasn't for the last 12 months, but our total out-of-pocket unbudgeted expense is right around $90,000 to $100,000.
Yeah, and this is a minor, I'm sorry to appear so shocked, it's a minor detail, but how is that building not secured? Are the doors wide open or something? it has nothing to do with the sale. I'm just a little.
The building is secured. There is a fence around the building. We are actually somewhat stymied as to how access is achieved, and these thefts have occurred. We haven't quite been able to figure out how they've done that. So we've put a guard in there as an alternative.
Sure. Thank you.
Sounds like somebody had a key. Councilmember Shipsky.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Shannon, you and I talked earlier today, particularly about the letter that we did receive, the third letter we received today, and I think the letter was written in response to an article that was in the Long Beach Business Journal, I guess that appeared online. And I know you asked if there was a representative, if their attorney or representative is here, but we haven't addressed, I think, some of the issues, and one of the concerns that I have is their allegation that the council violated the Brown Act. That's a serious allegation to be raised in a document that's sent to City Council in this matter. And then additionally, they raised the issue of an as-is sale, and do point out that as-is means as-is, and I think we've made some warranties. So my question would be, and I'm folding this into the other concern I have, and one of the reasons I think that, you know, it's very important that we get quality residential development in that area. I am concerned about the liquidated damages. I think it's inequitable for the city of Long Beach to be putting in there that, you know, we would be having to pay $1 million. And I would think that there should have been some equity. The liquidated damages should be equal because, by the way, as you all know, liquidated damages is supposed to approximate the cost of the loss that would be incurred by this. And certainly to give somebody $1 million, it seems substantial. So if the city attorney can respond to the letter, do we need to be concerned about the allegations in there about the Brown Act violation and the other issues in there I won't go into, but particularly about the liquidated damages being excessive?
Well, addressing the issue of the Brown Act, I'm confident that there has been no violation of the Brown Act. In fact, the letter doesn't make particularly clear just exactly how the Brown Act was violated, but I'm satisfied that there has been no problem with regard to that. With regard to, I'm sorry, what was the other part of your question? Liquidated damages?
The liquidated, well, twofold. One, we're representing this property as is, but we are making warranties, and we're also giving money back for the stripping of the copper. So it's certainly not as is. We're modifying that by making that warranty.
Well, let me ask one of the gentlemen behind me to respond to that, please.
Councilmember Shipsky, I'd be happy to respond to the liquidated damages, and Mr. Conway can probably handle the as-is sale. The $1 million cap on damages is somewhat abnormal, but not out of the question. I would like to underscore that those really are, I mean, that is the cap on the damages. The only way we pay a dollar of that is if the city defaults in its obligations under the agreement. We're so far along in the due diligence process, and as everyone has noted, we're years into this process, that I think the chances that the city would default on either putting the grant deed into escrow or otherwise making a material misrepresentation approach zero. But nevertheless, you are right that there is that $1 million potential liability that is out there, and that is the deal that we negotiated with the developer.
Well, again, I would I have great reservations on that because I think it's inequitable, and you know, the reason you put things in contracts is because things do happen, and obviously we certainly don't want to wind up giving a gift of $1 million because of something that comes up that we weren't aware of. And I understand that you're proceeding at lightning speed to get this escrow closed, but you know, contract is a contract, so I have great concerns. Is there any way we can, Mr. Anthony, is there any way that we can modify that liquidated damages so the city is not on the hook for so much? I cannot imagine. It's one half the price of the purchase.
Councilwoman Shipsky, as the deputy city attorney has indicated, the possibility of this occurring are as close to zero as you can get without certainty. The items that would have to occur between now and close of escrow is city would fail to put the grant deed into escrow. And it's already prepared. I mean, there's nothing that prevents us from submitting a grant deed into escrow. So in our discussions with the buyer, we leveraged that certainty into other negotiations in the purchase and sale agreement. And part of negotiations requires some give and take on both sides. From the standpoint of risk, we believe the risk is so minimal on this that we agreed to that condition. And in on the other side of the negotiations, we got reductions in other costs, such as the $40,000 for the damages to the building, the vandalism that occurred, and for the cost of purchasing the due diligence material. Those would have been more significant and likely more likely costs that the city would have to face other than the liquidated damages. So we thought from a business perspective that was the best deal.
All right, but I certainly reasonable people can disagree. I think it's excessive. And this is just for city management. One of the things that keeps coming up every time we get ready to sell a property is if you go back and refer to our insurance, how much our insurance company has insured this property for replacement is $35 million. So we're either paying a hell of a lot more in insurance than we need, or somebody's not valuing property appropriately. So I'm hoping this isn't the first time. This is a repeated process that we get. I would hope that you maybe sit down and talk with our insurance company about why they've indicated the value is $35 million.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Any member of the public wish to address the council on item 9? Please identify yourself. Be mindful of the time.
Sure. My comments are usually pretty short. Jim McCabe, mayor and city council. 100 Long Beach Boulevard is being sold or proposed to be sold to a corporation that, according to Long Beach Report, usually a reliable source, does not legally exist yet, and to principals that had, to the best of my knowledge, not been identified until tonight. In 2008 and 2010, during the real estate crash, the property was valued at $5.1 million and $4 million, respectively. No explanation has been given to this dramatically lower price. And I understand that there has been vandalism, but that has been taken care of by a small number of $40,000 compared to the deal as a whole. I just want to point out that it seems that this deal is going down without sufficient explanation as to why this lower price has been proposed and apparently accepted by staff. Something to me doesn't smell right about the deal. I urge that the council move with exceeding caution on this matter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Conway, just to refresh everybody's memory, we've had a lot of discussion on this building and on the price of this building. Would you just give a very quick explanation as to why the value of this building has substantially declined in the market?
Mayor and members of the City Council, as I indicated in my oral report, we have RFP'd this, City Hall East at least twice, to my knowledge, inviting all sophisticated local developers to investigate and bid on the property. I believe that process is superior to even appraisals to determine market value, because these are the professionals that determine highest and best use and what the ultimate value will be at build-out. They subtract their construction costs, their profits, and they come up to a value that can be paid for the property in order for the project to move forward. Council has directed that the development is a residential mixed-use development, and as a result of that, it limits the alternatives that can be done on the property, and the resulting value that was determined by the developers was below what was valued as highest and best use, which included some office uses. It may also be helpful to recall that in 2010, we did go into escrow at $4 million purchase price, which failed. And so that is certainly an indicator that $4 million is not the value of this building. And the 2011 RFP of the top two proposals that were received, both of them were within 10% of each other. I think that is a very clear indication of where market value is on this property.
Thank you, Mr. Conway. Next, please.
Larry Goodhue, clerk, has the address. I didn't get a chance to talk to Warren Buffett on this, but I was able to reach Homer Simpson. And I asked him about this, and he said he pointed out about nine points. He said, aren't these the same people, and isn't this the same paradigm that you used when you pawned off an orphan piece of property saying nobody wanted it and sold it for something like 12 cents an acre? And before the ink was dry, the developer turned around and had made $1 million in paper, put it on the market for $1 million. Now, I realize I don't know what the final profit was, but it certainly couldn't have been that bad, because you turned around a year later and did the same thing with another piece of orphan piece of property of no value. Please take this. Then, of course, we have the famed American Hotel property, where you were essentially, in your tactics, you were outsmarted by the ladies of Cartagena that at least got some basic money. You gave that piece of property away for $0. $0. Yet it's but a block or two from this piece of property. All right. Then, of course, we have the debacle with the tunnel relative to the courthouse. It's a paradigm that needs to be examined. Everything that you've done ends up financially disastrous for the city. Look at the courthouse itself, where it was supposed to be a money-saving deal for the public. The way it was done, and exactly opposite is the case. And, of course, the celebrated case, where a mayor really doesn't want to discuss it anymore, because we've discussed it before but haven't discussed the salient points, i.e. the Lehman Brothers, the paradigm there was wrong. Yes, other people lost money, certainly did. But Legions did not. Legions did not. They've got a paradigm that this city needs to adopt. And I guarantee you that if it goes through at this price, be it a federal or a state, there will be a grand jury investigation. They will know every time you change your jockey shorts. It's absurd on its face. People saying the real estate value is going down. 2 weeks ago, DeLong shook his head and said, no, it's going up, when I pointed out that, in fact, it's going to be about it'll be 18 to 24 months until after Obama's out of office that we'll see any meaningful turnaround in the economy. But DeLong says, no, the economy is going to be fine. Well, if the economy is fine, why are we giving this property away? I think you need to change your line of thinking. Thank you.
Oh, you're certainly welcome. Next, please.
Frank Pryor. I don't know if you want my address or not. This is basically a giveaway, this property. I don't know who's running this show down here, but I bought over 100 properties in the city of Long Beach. I'll pay for the 40,000 vandalism. I'll pay for the whatever it's cost you the last couple of years to maintain the security. I'll pay the $2.1 million and whatever you think is fair over that. I found out about the sale today. You know, it's not listed on the state agency board or something like that, which I thought some properties were. Put it in the multiples, get a broker to handle it. This guy says the market, this market value, this is the hottest market we've seen since 7 years ago, and it's the hottest, that was the hottest market in 40 years. Condos are red hot. Everything's selling like hotcakes. Does anybody else have any logic besides Jerry Shipsky on this council? This is a giveaway. I've overbid property in Los Angeles. They have a system just like the probate court or a trust sale. Sell the property, let overbidders come in. They start 5% higher than the last bid, which would start this out at 2.2. They bring the money with them, cashier's checks. High bidder gets it. Not some closed-door deal where the property once sold for $4 million or $5 million, people forgot about it. Now it turns out it's selling for $2.1 million. It's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And I mentioned this when they were selling the property that Mr. DeLong was involved with a couple of years ago down there at Studebaker. Get a price, let other people bid on it. I actually owned the American Hotel, and it was taken from me by the city about 10 years ago through eminent domain. Call me. I'll pay more than a dollar for it. But this is ridiculous. Just have a competitive bid on it. Rather than saying, okay, we accept this guy as a builder, you can put in the requirements, how it's got to be built, et cetera. They have these in all the homes that are built. So anybody that says that, you know, I just can't. I don't know how you guys sell real estate. It's usually Lennar, William T. Lyon, or someone else. Get a competitive group on it so that there's fair market values paid. That's part of our tax money that's being wasted. I'm going out to dinner with the wrong people. Now I got your attention. What are you doing later, Suja? I got to get in on some of these deals.
Let's keep it to the testimony. You did not bid on this, is that correct?
Found out about it today, but I am willing to bid on it.
Well, many others did. I'm just letting you know. You did not. I just want to make it clear.
No, I didn't know about it.
All right.
Didn't know about it.
Thanks very much.
And the other thing the guy said is the LLC has not been formed yet, so apparently you can't sell to them anyway.
Thank you. Next, please.
Hi, my name is Elliot Lewis. I own a bunch of property in Long Beach, about 100 units, buy and sell properties at foreclosure sale. I just found out about the sale as well today. Every investor, every money guy I talk to, when I tell them, what do you think the price of that building is? And I told them it went for 2.1. I mean, it's egregious, in my opinion. What I think should be done for the city to make more money, do it like a foreclosure or like a probate auction. Let the developers come in. You could do no warranties, no guarantees. Just take the highest bid, and the cash goes over. I mean, anybody knows that if you put a property, I didn't know what he described it, an RPPF sale. Anybody knows if you put the property in the multiple listing service, you could put all the same conditions on the property that he was talking about. The city can make all the same requirements. You could do as-is sale. You can control the contract however you want. So to put a property up for sale and not give the developers in Long Beach an opportunity really to bid on it and go to a select few people, what you're creating is a false market. That property is a crush. There's a reason why it's insured for $30 million. When they're done with that project, it's going to be worth $30 million, and it's not going to cost them that much money to get there, maybe $5, $10 million. I don't know the exact specs. They're going to crush for $15 million. There's tons of investors, all the money guys that I know that I've talked to today, they say postpone the sale. We want to bid on the property. We just want to have an opportunity like everybody else, and the city's going to make more money. You could put all the same conditions into it, but to go ahead and backdoor the deal on a closed-door deal just doesn't make any sense to me. And the value of that property, $2.1 million, in my opinion, with all due respect to whoever came up with that value, is a joke. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. O'Donnell.
Yes, got a question for city management. Well, we discussed this property in the past, and one of the reasons many haven't bid on it is because it's going to take, at least as I understand it, $10 million to bring it up to code. It's in significant disrepair. You just can't walk in there and let people live there. I believe I'm correct on that.
Mayor, members of the City Council, there were two previous estimates of the cost to restore the building for residential use, both of them within a few hundred thousand dollars of $20 million.
Yeah. So, point well taken. Thank you.
No, I'm sorry, sir. Your
I'd just like to ask if one of the council people would postpone this.
Your time is up. Thank you.
I know my time is up.
You're out of order. You're out of order. Thank you. Please sit down.
It for 2 weeks.
All right. Any further council discussion? Okay, members, we have a motion and a second. Cast your votes on item 9.
Motion carries. 8 votes yes, 1 vote no.
Okay. Thank you, members. We'll move to item 10. Clerk will read.